Welcome back to the Spook House. Take two.
Well, now people know. They're going to want to see the behind the scenes footy.
Footy?
Yeah, you never heard it called like footage, footy? Let me see that footy.
Never heard that, Tarantino. What are you talking about?
I was going to say, maybe it's for directors who have a film fetish, but I mean a foot fetish or a film fetish.
Okay. This takes even better than the first. Welcome back to the Spook House. My name is Phil. You all know my co-host, but I'm going to introduce him anyway. He is the Parmesan Playboy, the Prosciutto Poppy. He is the Long Island Dumpster Dweller. Give it up for Doug Gagliardo. How are you, my friend?
You know I am all about that trash. I am all about that schmeat. Give me that Italian schmeat. I actually bought a... I went to the supermarket before, and I did buy... I was in the mood for some cheese.
Okay.
Like a good old... I usually buy the charcuterie boards. You know what I'm talking about? They have like the Manchego. They got the Monterey Jack. But I decided against it. One, because I didn't see... I guess they were out of charcuterie boards today. And which is strange. But I got a block of Monterey Jack cheese that I'm going to indulge in.
Very nice. Thanks for the cheese update. I thought you were going to say you got some prosciutto. I was trying to think of a pun. I couldn't think of anything.
A big pun or a little pun?
I don't know. A cheese pun.
Yep, you lost it. I can't think that quickly. I mean, you said prosciutto poppy. That's good enough.
Yeah, it'll be feta next time.
Hey!
All right, so for this episode, we are going to talk about some horror news, and we are going to answer some listener Q&As from all you lovely people that sent in a question. We'll go ahead and get the show on the road, Doug. Do you want to jump into the first news topic?
Hell yeah, baby. Let's drive down that fast lane, gun that bitch to 80. So I'm going to go with this one, being that this is pretty big news in the horror world as of right now. People were kind of flipping over it. Mike Flanagan is in talks with Blumhouse to direct the next Exorcist sequels to save it from its falling grace.
Sequels or just the next one? I thought it said, you know, he might do this next one, see how it goes.
I might have assumed that because they had like a trilogy planned. Yeah. So I assumed he was gonna helm the next two sequels. Yeah. What are your thoughts on it? Because I have some thoughts.
Okay, well, first off, Mike Flanagan is, I mean, kind of hit or miss for me, but he is a quality director. I enjoy most of his movies. It's definitely a step up from David Gordon Green.
It's a fucking staircase up.
Yeah. Channing Tatum style, step up.
Step up three.
Is he in that one?
I don't know, but I would like to dance in the rain in front of headlights.
Who wouldn't? So definitely a step up from DWG. But at the same time, I'm so bored with a little girl possessed by a demon exorcist movies. I don't care if Tarantino is directing it. I'm like, oh, fuck, really? This again?
Yeah, I mean, and you've been saying it for a while. It's just kind of like a tired premise, especially, I mean, it's piggybacking on a franchise that's way, like, it came out so many years ago that, like, we don't really need more Exorcist movies. Granted, because, you know, it was one of the ones that really kickstarted that subgenre into the mainstream, but, like, you every now and again, there comes, like, a really, really solid possession movie like When Evil Lurks from last year.
I feel like there is a big distinction between something like When Evil Lurks or even Hereditary is kind of a possession movie.
Yeah, but they were actually like turning, they were doing something different with it rather than just a flat out possession movie.
Yeah, like once you bring in the the religious side of it. Oh, call the priest. And yeah, okay.
Well, because you know all the points they're going to hit.
Yeah, they're
going to like bring a basic exorcism movie.
Super soaker full of holy water, spray him down with it. And
the little girl is going to call someone a cocksucker. It's like, yeah, we get it. She yeah. listened to George Carlin's 7 dirty words before she got possessed, and now it's all in her head. She's going to call everybody a cunt. It's like, it's not, like you said, with the new Exorcist, like, for the, I will give you this, for the time, the original Exorcist, yeah, that was shocking to see. But now, with everyone desensitized, you really can't push the envelope with that
right.
genre that much. When Evil Lurks was incredible, Hereditary is the masterpiece. And that didn't really rely on the same old kind of tropes that we're used to seeing in possession movies. But if anyone could do it, I guess Mike Flanagan, to me, is like one of the best horror directors working today. I mean, I know you didn't see Haunting of Hill House or Bly Manor or Fall of House of Usher. I wish I can give you my Netflix, but yeah, they're fucking punks and don't allow password sharing.
And I'm not getting it. So yeah, I might just have to skip those. I'd be very interested to see what Mike Flanagan can do with it. Look, I guess even though it's a very generic story that's been done 1,000 times, there is, in the hands of the right director, I could see it being effective.
But what else can they do in the world of The Exorcist?
Nothing.
Like it's been, I think they covered a lot of ground in the original.
Call Russell Crowe. See if he wants to do it.
We don't need that fucking crossover. They already greenlit the Pope's Exorcist 2.
These types of movies are just done to death. People aren't that religious these days. At least, like, not as much as they used to be.
It would be kind of cool to see it done in maybe, like, a different religion. Yeah, with Blumhouse and Mike Flanagan working together, you kind of have to have the right team to give him. Because if it's just Mike Flanagan directing, but it's from a script from the same dude who wrote Night Swim. Right. You know, it's not a lot of hope for that.
Yeah.
He's just a horrible writer, in my opinion. I don't know if Mike Flanagan has the ability to elevate even the shittiest material.
Well, it is just kind of a rumor at this point. Nothing official, but I feel like Blumhouse is going to be scrambling because they still got some money to make back from buying those rights.
Absolutely.
But again, I don't care if they're like, hey, Quentin Tarantino's last movie, it's going to be The Exorcist. They're like, God damn it. Come on. So yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. They're going to make these movies either way. Hopefully Mike Flanagan gets it if he wants to do it.
I hope he passes on it. Because he is definitely too good of a director to just kind of put himself in that mainstream box. You know, Dr. Yeah. Sleep, as much as you didn't like it, it was based on, you know, a Stephen King book, a continuation of a story that is like 40 years old, but it was a continuation. You could say The Exorcist is a continuation, but I don't know. It just felt like the right project. And it was kind of untouched, you know. There's been plenty of Exorcist movies. I don't think we need any more.
And yeah, you're right. I mean, The Shining and X-Men had never crossed over before. So I'm glad we got Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, Dr. Sleep, you need to watch that movie again.
I don't. No, I'm good. The set design was impressive, recreating the Overlook Hotel. I was like, this kind of just makes me want to go watch The Shining. I could just do that.
I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not going to debate you on this because of The Shining is, we could probably agree on this because we definitely talked about it before. It has to be, as like cliche as it is, it's one of the most well-made horror films, or just films in general. Like,
yeah,
kind of hard to touch the greatness of The Shining, but I think Dr. Sleep is a pretty solid continuation and entry, and that's it. They're not planning a whole other trilogy. It was just Dr. Sleep. It was based on the book that Stephen King wrote. So it had, you know, the bones of that.
Mm-hmm.
Exorcist, what can you do?
All right, so here's a news topic. Blumhouse is remaking Blair Witch. And I couldn't be more opposed to that if I tried.
Yeah, and you actually love that movie. Like that,
I love it.
And that, it kind of hurt my feelings that it hurt your feelings that Blumhouse was remaking it.
I can't think of a single other movie where it's like you just had to be there.
Yes.
To experience. That will never happen again. So right away, Blumhouse is fighting an uphill battle without it being 1999. Not a lot of access to the internet. There's this lore behind the movie before it even comes out. Is it real? Is it not real? So there's going to be none of that. So we're just depending on the movie itself. Found footage is pretty common these days. So there's not that newness factor of it. Because one of the things that I loved about Blair Witch the first time I saw it, I'd never seen a found footage movie, let alone in the theaters. So it was like, whoa, what the fuck is this? It's like a home movie.
Yeah, it looked like it was uncovered in like a dark cave somewhere and they're just, you know, putting it on the big screen. People really didn't know what to expect.
So yeah, it was a special place in time that will never be recreated. And Blumhouse sure as shit isn't going to come close to recreating it.
You literally took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say Blair Witch Project was lightning in a bottle. Yeah. You can't do it again. You can't recreate the marketing campaign. You can't recreate getting those types of those actors that were in the movie, amateur as they may seem, and they haven't done much. That's what was needed. Like, you didn't know if it was a movie or if it was a documentary. You couldn't really tell. Everything was kind of muddled in it. And there's no way with at least Blumhouse overproducing everything that it's going to be even close to the original.
Yeah. And for the record, I thought it was real first when I saw it in theaters. Because remember, like, when the internet, it's like you knew a kid in the neighborhood, kind of richer kid. He had the internet. So you're like, whoa, you know, David's got internet. Holy shit. Let's go look up some stuff at his house.
It was still such a new thing.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can do anything in secret nowadays. There's no way. The last movie I think that was pulled off like that was maybe X and Pearl. Like, we didn't know that a trilogy was coming. We didn't know Pearl was going to come out. Maybe people knew that Ty West was doing a movie, but like even before that, you know, what was the last one that was pretty much kind of like Blair Witch? Cloverfield, which was 2008.
Yeah.
No one knew what it was about. It was filmed in secret. It was a secret J.J. Abrams project. The marketing was pretty similar. It was basically, go see this movie. It's a huge mystery. And huge. Somehow, what?
I said huge.
Huge
mystery.
Huge mystery. The biggest mystery of all time. Can't even tell you any other mystery. Epstein Island's not a mystery. It's very the public. Cloverfield mystery. Huge. But yeah, like you can't match that energy.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. And like we always talk about, I mean, Blumhouse, yeah, they have a lot of money, but the team they put behind these horror movies like Imaginary and Night Swim and the Black Christmas remake and the Exorcist reboots and the Halloween reboots. As simple as the Blair Witch Project was, and I'm not a huge fan of it at all.
You haven't watched it since you were 12.
I haven't watched it since I was 12, but I could admit that there was a magic there. There was depth in its simplicity. Their Blumhouse has no depth. They have no nuance.
Yeah, I used to like kind of defend Blumhouse a bit. It's like, yeah, their strategy seems to be put out four pieces of shit and a pretty good movie. And occasionally a good movie. Whiplash is a Blumhouse movie. Get Out,
which is mind-blowing to me.
I mean, that was very early on in the start of Blumhouse. Hey, we're going to be a company with integrity. But somewhere along the way, more so in the last year, it's like I can't defend them anymore with the shot-for-shot remake of Speak No Evil. It's like, why? What is the fucking point of this?
Well, it's because they don't seem like...
And Night Swim... And they acquired all these movies from Lionsgate, which I'm terrified of, because there's some classic titles in Lionsgate, including the Blair Witch. So
yeah, it's not a good look. And you just basically summed up the point that I was thinking of. Maybe they started off, you know, with a creative backbone and they wanted to put projects to the top that were, you know, unique. Now they're a business. It's a business. They make business decisions. They're not in the business of creativity. They're basically a machine that churns out these movies that have no creativity, no originality, remakes that they just assume that people will go see based off the title. Jason Blum is a businessman, and that's not even a shot. I mean, yeah, A24 and Universal and Lionsgate, and it's a studio, it's a business, they have to make money, but like, look at A24. I mean, I'm sorry to keep on like blowing them, but they hold up projects and they hold up filmmakers that have like a unique vision. I saw the TV Glow, and that was a very intriguing movie.
I want to watch it so bad.
I'm very curious to know what you think about it.
Yeah, but you are right. I mean, look, we praise A24 over here. Not everything they put out lands for us, but even if it doesn't, I still respect them for taking big swings and giving a platform to unique voices. So,
dude, the Philippou brothers for Talk to Me. I mean, two Australian YouTubers. They got a fucking check to make the movie they wanted, and now they're in talks to do more movies. They had, you know, they gave people a chance. They gave someone a chance, and Blumhouse, to a certain degree, gives these new screenwriters a chance, but they don't deliver. And when they don't deliver, they just keep on hiring the same people.
Yeah, and for the record, I think the Philippou brothers, they had already made Talk to Me, and they sort of shopped it around, and A24 bought it. I mean, sometimes studios will sort of build a movie from the ground up. Sometimes they're at a festival. And they really want that movie, and they bid for it. But I mean, even then, I commend them for... Yeah, taking creative swings. I'm sure they're definitely financing the sequel to Talk to Me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I do have another movie on the list that they're in talks to do, which seems, just from the title, it seems like another possession type of movie, or maybe having to deal with grief or death. But again, it's just a title and a star attached, and A24 is, you know, in on it.
Well, yeah, let's segue it into our next news topic.
Let's do that hot segue, Daddy-O. So A24, again, Paul teaming Blart up this shit.
Well, so let's Paul Blart this shit. Hop on our segues.
I always wanted a segue so bad.
What happened to those? You don't segues? See a lot of, yeah.
I guess they kind of transformed into like the bird scooters or kind of like that hoverboard. But like mall dudes have like carts now. Like the airport carts that they kind of ride around in. They're not cool enough.
There was a minute there where I was like, oh, segways, that's gonna be the future.
That was like how people, like how you know, like someone's like rich, like, oh, they have a Segway?
Yeah.
What else do they have? An Apple computer?
It did produce a lot of hilarious videos of people just eating shit on those
things. Dude, I watched an hour and 40 minute fail compilation the other day. I could watch people eating shit on a Segway all day. Also, Russian driving is fun to look up too, because people have no rules.
So yeah, next news topic, the next film from the Talk to Me directors, the Philippou brothers.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called Bring Her Back, and they have a star already locked down in Sally Hawkins. Shape of Water.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've seen her in. She's the one that
Fuck the Fish Man. Yes.
Yeah, bang the Fish Man.
That was her, and maybe it's a sequel to that where she's gonna, you know, go into aquarium and have an orgasm. But
I love how everybody just kind of like overlooked that part of the movie. Like, oh yeah, you know, she fucked the fish guy. Whatever.
Definitely in the realm of Guillermo del Toro movies.
I mean, it was a good movie.
You know what? I haven't seen it, actually.
It's pretty good. Anything with Michael Shannon as a villain? Solid.
And somehow you don't like Knives Out.
No, I don't. I tried. The sequel was okay. Anyways, we're getting off topic. Bring Her Back. Are there any details about it other than the directors and star?
We have nothing. Just that A24 is teamed up with the Filippo brothers again. So they seem to be in the Filippo brother business.
Yeah, I mean, those dudes are extremely passionate about filmmaking. I don't know if you've ever watched any interviews with them, but they are just seem like very sweet guys, but talkative as shit. And they just, they have that twin connection where they're finishing each other's sentences. And yeah, those guys are awesome. I hope they stick around for a long time.
Yeah. And I mean, they're very much inspired by like even the new filmmakers of today, like Jordan Peele. Like he gave them the, you know, the sign off, which was really awesome because Jordan Peele, again, prolific director. So they're in a good class of people to like, they're, I feel like they have A24 behind them. Jordan Peele is into them. You know, they have a lot of tools that they could use and people they could get advice from, to make solid movies from, you know, for year after year. So it would be cool to see what they do next with this movie. Even if it is a possession movie, I will give them the benefit of the doubt of making something interesting, at least.
Yeah, for sure. And we don't know if it's a possession, but Bring Her Back. Yeah, who knows?
I mean, it could be like a, you know, Reanimator situation or something like that. I would love to see, that would actually be pretty fun to see kind of like a Reanimator-esque movie made by the Filippo brothers, because their Australian humor is wacky. I feel like they could make some like wacky, like horror sci-fi movie.
Yeah, I could see that being good. No news on the Talk to Me sequel.
And I'm totally fine with that because I want it to be like a surprise drop. We already know it's coming out. They talked a little bit about it being kind of filmed in the perspective of like a TikTok. So kind of like an in-camera thing, which I'm a little shaky on, but that's all I need to know. They got me on the good graces of Talk to Me, which you obviously liked a lot better than me. I thought it was solid, not amazing, but like, I'll go see it. I don't need any more promotional, you know, advertisement or anything. I'll watch that shit.
Yeah. I kind of wish movies would just like 5 days heads up. Hey, Saturday night, go see it.
It would be like, so much more fun that way.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the anticipation is fun knowing that, like, you know, some of these movies are down the pipeline, but you know, if you're announcing a trilogy right off the bat, kind of leaves a lot to be desired.
All right. Next news topic, Doug.
All right. Let's see what we got, Daddy-O. All right. This news actually got me fucking pumped. Flesh of the Gods is a new movie, new vampire movie that's being directed by Panos Cosmatos, who did Mandy. 10 out of 10. Let's fucking go, baby. You wore it in honor of this. starring Kristen Stewart and Oscar Isaac.
The premise of it sounds so fucking good. I know Flesh of the Gods is a book that kind of deals with like the ritualistic use of psychedelics throughout the years. I'm wondering if this will be another Mandy style drug fueled psychedelic trippy horror movie. And that just, whew, dude.
I mean, if it's set in the same world as Mandy, because Mandy kind of, it looked like it almost didn't take place on our Earth. It looked like it took place on an other Earth. So if it's kind of playing with reality in that way, like you said, and I think Panos has like his own, you know, like when you watch it, like say if you watch a movie and you don't know who the director is, but you can pinpoint who the director is just on like their, you know, the language of their film. Like Quentin Tarantino has these, you know, long, witty monologues. Like you could tell it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. Yeah. I think Panos Cosmatos has like his own specific language in cinema with like very kind of like David Lynch a little bit, like slow, moody type of dialogue that like I'd be interested to see what Oscar Isaac would be like as a vampire.
Yeah, has Panos, has he directed anything since Mandy?
I want to say no, but do you know who his father is?
No.
He directed, what's that Sylvester Stallone movie, Cobra?
No shit.
Yeah, which I did not know, but apparently he directed, like his father, like directed, yeah, George Cosmatos. Is his dad. He did Rambo First Blood Part 2, Leviathan, Tombstone.
Whoa.
Yeah, like,
know that.
Major stuff. So obviously it seems like it runs in the vampire bloodline for Panos to be a great director. Yeah, I don't think he didn't do Color Out of Space.
No, he did Beyond the Black Rainbow.
See,
I kind of like when there's a director that just pops up every now and again.
That's exactly the question I was going to ask you. Do you like when, like, I guess that answers my question, because you already said that, you know, it's kind of nice to, like, for someone to, like, you know, fade into the abyss, and then you're like, I wonder what happened to that person, and then they come out with a banger.
Well, it also tells you that they're very picky and meticulous about what they're doing, so they're not just going to come back and just for the hell of it.
So they're, I'm not sure, like Kevin Hart taking every fucking role imaginable.
Right. On every DraftKings commercial and credit card commercial. But yeah, everything about this movie, I am just, the description of it, so fucking stoked. Set in the 80s in LA, I believe. Vampires, probably a lot of drugs. And, you know, I'm not endorsing drug use. I don't do drugs, but I'm just saying, the style that Mandy was in with the powerful hallucinogens that turned the black skulls into these biker demons from hell. Like, if it's anything like that, I'm all about it.
Dude, if there was ever a Mandy spinoff, I want that movie. I want like the black skull demons from hell. Like, I want to see them in a full movie.
So, no, I talked about this before, but I saw that in theaters recently, like a couple weeks back. And the black skulls, they're scary as shit. I mean, you're wearing a Hellraiser shirt, coincidentally, but I'm
that, like, was the inspiration.
They're very Cenobite. It's not Cenobites.
Oh, I say Cenobites.
Yeah, I do too. Cenobites, whatever.
Cenobites, like John Cena is the leader.
They're both delicious. Cenobites.
Huh?
Hey, you can't see me, Doug.
You can't eat me.
But yeah, when I was watching that, I was like kind of terrified a bit when they're in the room with Nicolas Cage and his girlfriend. I was like, dude, these are way more intimidating than the Cenobites, especially in Hellraiser 3. Like, Jesus.
Hey. Hey. Don't trash like Hellraiser 3. That was a solid movie.
It's fun.
It's the pinhead statue right in the middle of the apartment.
It is hilarious. Pretty shitty. A lot of things about it are pretty shitty.
But it's good. It's good shitty.
There's a sassy fashion photographer Cenobite. Come on.
Time for your close-up.
That's hilarious. It's better than the fucking, the AOL dial-up Hellraiser. What was it called? Hellraiser Cybertron, or?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So yes, Flesh of the Gods, super stoked for that. Can't wait for it. No release date. Take your time, Panos. Craft that masterpiece. I know you will.
Yeah, I could see that being like a 2025 release, maybe like end of 2025.
That's okay. So, we'll wait.
Yeah, we have, honestly, the back half of 2024 looks really good for horror movies. There's apparently a Rosemary's Baby prequel series in the works called Apartment 7A, debuting on Paramount Plus. Supposed to come out this fall, so it's pretty quick. Starring Julia Garner from Ozark and The Assistant, directed by this woman who I don't know, Natalie Erica James, who directed this movie called Relic in 2020. It's about the person who lived in the apartment before Rosemary.
Okay, so you're a huge Rosemary's Baby fan. I think it's good. I've seen it a couple times. What are your thoughts on this? I'll let the expert handle this one.
I was not happy about this news, nor excited, because it kind of takes away the intrigue and mystery. I mean, we know from Rosemary's Baby, the movie, what happened to the previous owner before. They tried the same thing on Rosemary, and it didn't work. And I am not a big fan of Julia Gardner. I'd never watched Ozark. I don't like her in The Assistant. I just don't think she's, you know, interesting. I think she's very bland.
She's great in Ozark. I've seen Ozark.
From what I hear, I can't comment on Ozark because I haven't seen it, but from what I hear, she is really good in Ozark. Yep. But I didn't like her in The Assistant, that movie I saw. And like, it's just unnecessary. Like, the plot of the show is unnecessary. Maybe if it was like a movie, I would be a little more intrigued, but like, to flesh it out as a full series, I just don't find it interesting. And I can't talk about the director because I've never seen Relic. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what like her style is. So I definitely want to see Relic. But yeah, I just don't see the point. Now I'm going to bring this up real quick, and it's about the new Strangers trilogy coming out.
Oh yes. Very soon.
Literally like next week. So word just dropped today. So do you remember the original? You said you weren't too like hot on it, right?
Just very middle of the road on it. Overrated. You'll, I believe
disagree on that.
I put the overrated label on it.
Yes. Yes, you did. That I try to block that out. But you were okay. So when, you know, in the beginning of the movie, someone knocks on the door and they're like, is Tamar home?
Uh-huh.
Apparently in these new movies, they're going to reveal who Tamara is, or Tamara. That's where I compare it to this Rosemary's Baby prequel thing, because like, who gives a shit? We don't need to see everything fleshed out. It kind of ruins the whole mystique behind it.
Sure.
I mean, who knows how many times these, you know, speaking on Rosemary's Baby, who knows how many times the neighbors like try to insert the devil's child into, you know, the owner of these apartments. We don't need movies on all of them. We just know that it happened. Totally takes away the intrigue and like,
yeah. I mean, anytime you hear the words, first of all, prequel, yikes. It's usually not that great. I mean, I'm sure there have been some good prequels, but nothing.
Hey, the First Omen wasn't bad.
Okay, well, there you go. But traditionally, prequels are like, oh, you guys must really have nothing new to say about this.
I'm with you.
Straight to streaming, Paramount Plus. Rosemary's Baby, I agree with you, would be way more intrigued if it were a movie. I just don't see, I don't know, what you're going to do over however many episodes. 10 also, hours.
Exactly. Like, yeah. How are you going to drag out this plot? And like, how many subplots are there going to be that don't matter? Just like this series based on the Talented Mr. Ripley. And that was a pretty great movie. And like, the series was so serious. Rosemary's Baby, I mean, you saw a couple times. The neighbors were like these like kind of good natured, a little off, but like they kind of just came off as goofy old people. I don't think they're going to be able to balance that tone. I mean, I could be wrong, but things nowadays just don't have that same like touch.
Yeah, I don't know.
You remember that show they tried to make out of it?
No.
Starring Zoe Saldana. It was like a Fox show. They did like literally Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, didn't know that.
And they did an Exorcist show as well with John Cho from Harold and Kumar.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a reason why you don't hear about it.
Yeah. And that kind of also goes to show you the strength of the IP of the Exorcist. Like a Halloween or Friday the 13th series had come out in 2001. Everybody would know that came out. and everybody would have an opinion on it. But when you're like, oh yeah, The Exorcist did have a TV show, these rights aren't worth $100 million or whatever they paid for it.
They're just not doing right by The Exorcist franchise. I don't think they're doing right by the Rosemary's Baby franchise. There's no franchise really attached to it. Maybe they're trying to make something out of it, but you've never heard of people leaving classics alone? Like,
yeah,
some things movies don't need to be fleshed out.
Yeah, some movies should just be a singular thing. Hey, it happened. Great movie. See you later. Guess we'll find out soon, because it'll be here before you know it.
Yep, and I guess we'll watch it.
This next one, I guess I got the notes here. We'll do this one. Another Evil Dead movie. I think there's two planned.
Yes, I did hear about that.
The first with Francis Galuppi, who made The Last Stop in Yuma County.
Which comes out this weekend, by the way.
Yes, I was just about to say, I was checking my local Alamo listings and I saw that they were playing that. I watched the trailer and I made it halfway through and turned it off. And I said, say no more. Buy my ticket now. Huh? I'm good. Richard Brake, your homeboy. What's his name?
Jim Cummings.
I was like, I'm good. I'm
sold. And Barbara Crampton.
Oh shit. She's in it.
Yeah. Barbara Crampton's in it.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't even want to watch the rest of the trailer. Don't need to see anymore. I'm hooked on the premise. It looks great. Richard Brake as a villain. Sign me the fuck up.
And it looks like always a Western horror movie.
Yeah, it kind of has like a No Country for Old Men vibe. So yeah, really looking forward to that. But yeah, apparently he's going to direct the next Evil Dead movie. Which, yeah. I mean, gotta be better than the last.
Want another Evil Dead movie?
Yeah. You know, I really do like the first two Evil Dead movies, but for some reason, I've never been like, that's my fucking franchise. Like, you know, like I'm just sort of kind of mid on it. You know,
I could see that. I mean, I'm with you. I like the first two.
I get why people love them. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's fun. It's goofy. It's wacky.
Yeah,
it's camp. You have Bruce Campbell in it. Him and his fucking chin dimple are beautiful. But yeah, like, where are they going to find the Necronomicon in this movie? An in-ground pool? Who knows? Some convenient place.
Yeah, it sort of turned into kind of like what we were saying with possession movies. It's like, okay, there's going to be a book. People are going to find it. Possessions, we know what's going to happen. I'm not saying they can't be good movies, but there's not a lot to be surprised by with any new Evil Dead movie at this point.
Because they're not really like expanding on the lore of Evil Dead. It's just kind of repetitive. They find the book. Someone gets possessed. They have to defend them. They have to defend themselves. And yeah, on like, we go on the Ferris wheel of shit.
It's like what we were saying in Evil Dead Rise. They're playing Evil Dead Bingo. They're like, yeah,
exactly.
Check, check. Oh, bingo. This is a good movie, right?
Dead by Dawn. All right. it's just like,
come up to the front to collect your portable DVD player.
Come to the front to collect your Necronomicon with a shitty script in it. But yeah, like, again, do we need it? No. Are we going to watch it? Yeah. Hopefully it's good. I mean, I wasn't really excited about the first Omen. It looked like a big old pile of dookie. And I'm not really enjoying it. So,
okay.
So who knows? But yet, like, again, like the last one definitely left a bad taste in both of our mouths. You didn't like it more than I did. And then as you kept talking about it, I was like, yeah, this movie kind of really does suck.
Yeah, I mean, and I was definitely in the minority there. Everybody was hyped on it, and I was like, guys, I'm sorry. I'm just not seeing this one. This does nothing for me.
And you made great points as to why it's not great. I mean, I understood it all, and I had to change my mind.
So, you know what's weird? Like, they essentially announced two Evil Dead movies, and they've already... The director of Infested which recently came out on Shudder, which is fucking amazing. I love that movie. It's like Attack the Block meets Arachnophobia or something. It's set in an apartment the entire time, an apartment, like skyrise apartment building. And before I even knew about that news, I was like, okay, this is how you utilize a new space, like an apartment complex. Why didn't Evil Dead Rise do this instead of having it like a high school play and they're just in this house, an apartment the entire time, and you're not really going to explore the stairwells and other floors of the apartment building? But Infested did that so well. And I was like, yeah, they should have done this in Evil Dead Rise. Both of these movies are in very good hands. I mean, these are great directors.
I'm definitely going to watch Infested tonight because you told me it was really good.
I tried to get you to watch it, two nights ago? And you're like, yeah, I'm going to watch it when I get home. And next day, you're like, yeah, I watched He Got Game instead. It's
like, kind of in the same vein, you know?
The 90s Spike Lee, was it a basketball movie?
Yeah, with Denzel, baby. But yeah, I agree. They do seem like they are in good hands. I don't know what else they've directed, but I'm curious to see what they're going to do, because let you in on a little secret. Lee Cronin was not the best choice. He's not that good of a director who did Evil Dead Rise.
Right. Yeah.
Like you said, he didn't have any cowbell. He didn't explore the space. He didn't put on gold diapers. He didn't do any of that.
Fellas, before you leave here, y'all going to be wearing gold-plated diapers. What does that even mean? Don't question Bruce Dickens.
Classic.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
So this is exciting news for the Blu-ray DVD collectors, physical media collectors. A Nightmare on Elm Street just got announced that there will be a 4K release for the first time ever.
Yeah, it's crazy that Nightmare on Elm Street has never had a proper 4K release. It's crazy that the series has never had a 4K release. I know a lot of people want that.
That box set is going to be fire.
Yeah. You know what, man? I can feel the pull, because I just bought a new 55-inch 4K TV, and earlier today I was looking at 4K players, and I'm like, this is how it starts.
Brittany has a Blu-ray player, and I'm like, fuck.
I can just feel the money pit opening up. Yeah. Where I'm like, well, I got to get all the Halloweens on 4K, and I mean, ooh, Mandy would be pretty sick to watch on 4K, and I'm just like, cha-ching, cha-ching. I'm like, don't fucking do it, man.
It's gonna happen. But you know, the more physical media, the better. Doesn't really matter what medium. And just imagine, I mean, you've seen the Nightmare on Elm Street documentary that's like 4 hours long, Never Sleep Again. They have so much behind the scenes footage, most likely, that they're gonna include on these, you know, 4K releases. That would be pretty rad to see. Probably stuff in like the vault, possibly, over at New Line
that they could throw on there. I did see that as far as special features go, it's a lot of the same stuff that has been out on like DVDs and Blu-rays, like just some of the featurettes and stuff like that. But this is a step in the right direction, because hopefully the series will be released soon. And even more interesting with all this, maybe this is a sign that I don't know how these things work with getting the rights to 4Ks and all that, but maybe there's some movement in the Craven estate and it's going to be like, hey, new Nightmare on Elm Street announced.
Listen, we've been talking about this for a hot minute. If you know, I think now is the time to strike while the iron is hot, hot, hot. And if Mike Flanagan doesn't go for the Exorcist reboot, I wouldn't mind seeing him do a slasher.
I would much rather see him do that. I could see him handling that material very well.
Dude, I will fucking buy you the physical release of The Haunting of Hill House. That movie has so much dread and atmosphere and like, not jump scares, just terrifying moments. And I've rewatched that series like three times. It's that good. And if anyone could really deliver on scares and not just cheap jump scares, which like Nightmare on Elm Street really isn't, Mike Flanagan would be the man to do it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully there will be some sort of news about a new Nightmare on Elm Street. Hopefully it's something with Friday the 13th as well, because it's been over a year and a month, I believe, since, remember that whole A24 Friday the 13th series on Peacock that we heard about? Not a peep since.
Do you think they're trying to get rid of it? Do you think they're trying to sell it off?
I have no idea. I think it's just legal bullshit with Sean Cunningham and Victor Miller. I don't know if that's still ongoing. I thought it was wrapped up, but damn, I am ready to see Jason and Freddy either or back in some form.
At the time of recording that episode, which was last night, the news hadn't been announced yet that A24 pulled the plug on the Crystal Lake series, which is obviously a huge bummer. I know there was still a movie in talks being made, but yeah, I mean, we were really looking forward to the A24 version of Friday the 13th, but apparently that's dead now. So that fucking sucks. And on with the episode.
It's been a while, as Aaron Lewis once said.
I feel like long kind of ruined that phrase. I can't say, hey man, it's been a while since I've seen you, because I'll just be like, it's been a while. I can't.
Fucking Aaron Lewis, get out of my head. My mind is stained from this catchphrase.
You know,
feels like a mud shovel's in there. Stained references. We got to break the cycle so we could talk about some more stained references. I'm sorry.
All right, we're on the outside. We're looking in. We need to get back into this. Okay.
Just wanted you to say one.
I was struggling. Nightmare on Elm Street 4K. I might have to buy it. I'm telling you, man, it's a battle, and I feel like I'm losing. I'm like, ooh, I was looking up 4Ks earlier, like, ooh, Night of the Creeps 4K. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. You're gonna convert. Not even convert, expand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not getting rid of my tapes.
But, oh, absolutely not.
But yeah.
I need to build my collection back up, but also I just want movies. I just want to watch and buy movies all the time.
All right, so that about does it for the news topics.
Oh, wait, I got one more.
Is it the Scooby-Doo thing?
Yeah. You don't want to talk about it? No.
I have literally nothing to say about Scooby-Doo. I'm sorry.
I thought that was interesting.
Hey, there's a new Scooby-Doo movie coming out.
No, live-action series.
Even less.
You didn't even read it.
I read the note. Yeah.
All right, we could save it or never talk about it.
Okay. All right, Doug, you ready to jump into some questions?
Let's hit it up, Daddy-O.
All right, the first one here is from Cherry Haycraft. She wants to know, how do you guys feel about Mike Flanagan directing the Exorcist movie? Well, we talked about that, but I appreciate the question.
Yes, and thank you so much.
I was talking to her about her recent she saw Orgy in concert. I was like, yeah,
what?
I still jam Candy Ass.
They're still touring. That's amazing that people even, I can't imagine. I really want to know how many people were not at that show.
I mean, it, you know, they were at a small club, but there was a decent amount.
I'm gonna guess 250 cap.
All right, Mr. Venue Expert. That's hey, amazing. Let Orgy do their thing. Okay, they're not hurting anybody.
I'm just, I like that song Stitches.
It was a banger. It's good.
That video is dope too. Very low budget, white background. They're in like the ball cage or whatever.
Yeah.
Dying yourself to me. Yeah, whatever.
All right. Next question, kind of on topic here. Robert the 17th. Any plans on doing another new metal / music podcast? I would love to. Me and Doug were just talking about this last week. Like, man.
Last week, we send each other fucking new metal memes back and forth all day.
That's true.
All day, every day.
But yes, I would love to do another new metal episode. Got to be glued runs in my veins.
Dude, yeah. I took a shower before and I had like the mean shuffle going, blasting through my speakers. And I mean, it's one of the singles, but Make Me Bad by Korn came up on the shuffle. And I was like, I forgot how incredible this song was.
It is really good. I think Issues has some of their best written songs, like Trash, track three.
Ooh. Dude, Trash is so good.
Yeah.
Dead Bodies Everywhere. Is that on?
Let's Follow the Leader.
Let's Follow the Leader. I was not that one. Let's Get This Party Started.
Yeah, that's Issues.
Okay, there we go. That song is an absolute banger.
And the song that closes out that album, Dirty.
Yeah. Another
banger. And when I saw them in concert a couple years ago, they played that, which was like, what? They're playing this? Lost my mind.
That's like something they don't play normally.
New metal episode? Absolutely, Robert. All right, next question. Rick wants to know, hey, thoughts on Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight? Love it.
Yeah, solid movie.
Great movie. 1995 classic.
I was going to say 95, right?
Yeah. Also, not new metal, but a good metal soundtrack. Has like shit like Biohazard and I
think, oh my god,
Typo Negative, I think.
Biohazard. Jesus Christ.
I think Pantera is up there. So yeah, good soundtrack. Great movie. Billy Zane as a villain. That's an underrated horror villain right there. Billy Zane and Demon Knight.
Dude, I haven't seen that movie in so long that I don't even remember.
I gotta watch that soon. I finally watched Titanic for the first time. Billy Zane's in that.
You did, and you said it was too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long movie.
It's a good thing you didn't watch it on the USA Network, where it would have been like 8.5 hours along with the commercials.
I mean, it is what it is. It's kind of soapy, but it's solid. It's,
dude, James Cameron had Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio for real almost drowning on that goddamn boat. That's a director.
A lot of those stunts, I was like, this is real. How the fuck do they do this? Because they're real just
unsafe.
Yeah. They're just in a hallway corridor with water rushing towards them.
So, hey, they got great performances out of them.
Yeah. Shout out Titanic and Demon Knight.
Speaking of Titanic, I picked this up at a thrift shop.
What?
I showed you this before. This is $10 at a thrift shop. This is going up in the new place, baby. Take awesome. The voyage home. The voyage is coming home to daddy.
That's great. Doug is holding up a giant Titanic sign. If you're
11 Academy Awards.
That's great.
And I have nowhere to put it now, so now it's just hanging out near my dresser.
Nice. Okay, Fox and Moose, my buddy Eric, who also, side note, he came up with Prosciutto Poppy. He sent that in. He was like, hey, you got to call Doug this sometime. I said, gladly, my friend.
Thank you so much for ripping away Phil's credit.
Yeah, well, got to give credit due.
What credit a good hearted person. Due. There you go. Words are hard.
They are, especially when it's kind of late and very, you know.
I mean, you witnessed me stop thinking before.
Hey, talking's hard sometimes.
Especially for a long period of time, which I give a lot of podcasters who do podcasts by themselves a lot of credit, because they have to just think of shit. Granted, they probably have notes, but you know, they got to keep the conversation going with no back and forth.
Yeah. He wants to know thoughts on Reanimator, the OG.
Is there a remake of Reanimator?
I don't think so, but yeah, Reanimator is a lot of fun.
Love Reanimator. Love, wow, I'm a fucking idiot.
Jeffrey Combs?
Yes, I was going to say, I was going to mix Jeffrey and Barbara Crandon. Jeffrey Combs, yes.
Stuart Gordon. Always forget that name.
He might be one of my favorite directors in horror, with like From Beyond, Reanimator, Castle Freak. I mean, Reanimator is fucking, I mean, what else can you say about it besides it's an absolute classic?
Yeah, I've only seen it a couple of times every time I see it, I'm like, damn, this movie is fun.
And like,
I got to put that one in rotation. Or
yeah, just... dude, it's really, and like the fun thing about Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator, the ending scenes to both of those movies are just like all out chaos.
I've never seen Bride of Reanimator.
Oh, dude, it's so good. I'm curious to know which one you would like more. Bride of Reanimator is really fun, but like just the dialogue that Jeffrey Combs has in both movies is hilarious.
You've seen The Frighteners, right?
No, I haven't, but I know he's in that.
Oh,
Michael J. Fox, right?
That's a fucking classic. Peter Jackson directed it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Was that 2001?
1996.
96.
Pfft. Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking of. Hollow Man, maybe. Yeah.
You might be. That was like 2000. Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I need to hop on The Frighteners.
Yeah, it's good. You would love it. Okay, John Hammer, 82, all the way from Ireland. By the way, let me know, did your sweatshirt arrive? Because I sent that off like a month ago. I know it said it was going to take a few weeks, but let me know. Thanks for buying a sweatshirt. Hit up the merch store. Get a t-shirt and a sweatshirt. I got plenty of them. Okay.
Is up. And if you're at a Carolina Fear Fest, come and pick one up in person.
That's right.
And we will personally lick each sleeve for you.
Dude, that is like less than 2 weeks. Yeah, it's getting close.
14 days, 15 days.
Something like that. Memorial Day weekend. Come on out. Come say what's up to me and Doug. Okay, bit of a generic question, but what's... This is his words. I'm not saying
that. You're like, this piece of shit sent in the worst question.
Wow. Thanks for the generic question.
Try a little harder next time, pal.
No, he said, bit of a generic question, but what summer releases are you looking forward to the most?
Long I have legs, four right off I the mean, bat.
Yeah, Long Legs might be my number one. Cuckoo. Terrifier 3. In a Violent Nature. I want to check that out.
Maxine?
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, the back half of 2024 is just insane.
It's hard to rank them because you just named pretty much the same ones I was going to say. But as much as I want to say Long Legs, I'm just so curious to see what Cuckoo is about. Because it just looks wild. It just looks so strange, and I want to see Hunter Schafer in like a lead role. Dan Stevens seems like he's having a good time in that movie. It looks very kind of like colorful, and not like the actual color palette of the movie. It just looks like something new.
So yeah, all of those, and hopefully we get another.
Oh, don't forget Nosferatu.
Yeah, well, he did say summer releases, but yeah,
oh, sure. Yep.
And totally not Leslie. We get another movie kind of like Infested, because I had no idea about that this was even a movie that was coming out, and I saw a couple people say, hey, this is really good. I threw it on, didn't even watch a trailer. I was like, fuck yeah, this movie's awesome.
Spiders are coming back.
Power Man 5000, let's go.
Dude, Tonight the Stars Revolt? That album's a fucking... absolute banger. Nobody's Real, favorite song of it.
I just got New Metal on the Brain now.
That's Rob Zombie's cousin or something.
That's his brother. Okay, last question from Thomas Baker. Which actor and actress do you wish to see star in a horror movie? I know that this isn't technically, because Richard Brake has been in horror movies, but as far as a leading role in a big movie, I want to see him. Actress, I really like Rebecca Hall. I know she was in The Night House, and she did this Shudder original with Tim Roth that I was really looking forward to, but it wasn't that good.
What's that one called? I don't even know what movie that is.
The trailer had me so hyped, and I forgot the name of it. It was kind of forgetful. It's kind of a letdown. But I would like to see Rebecca Hall in more stuff. I know I'm not answering the question because I don't know. I'm bad at thinking about these.
You get on the spot. It's kind of difficult. We know so many actors and actresses. Yeah, I was trying to speed think about it while you were thinking of yours. Yeah, actors. You know what would be interesting? Paul Walter Hauser in like a kind of like a meaty slasher role. Do you know, you ever see like a movie with him in it?
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah, I think he would like take it real seriously. And he's a very kind looking guy, but I feel like he could really like, you know, could be intimidating with the right material. So that would be kind of fun. An actress, I mean, I just saw Challengers last week. I mean, I would love to see Zendaya do something in the horror world, either be like a final girl, or I mean, I can really see her being anything. Put her as the villain, put her as the, you know, the final girl. She's just great all around.
Solid picks. And did you see that Paul Walter Hauser is going to star as Chris Farley in a biopic?
Perfect casting.
Whoa.
I think that is great casting. No?
No, yeah, you're right. I'm just saying, like, whoa. Those are some iconic shoes to fill.
I'm very curious to see what direction they're going to take the story. I mean, you have to think about it.
Has to be sort of a dark story.
I mean, yeah, if they're showing behind the scenes, I mean, there's been stories of him at, you know, SNL behind the scenes, like boozing it up. Like, you have to cast someone to play Adam Sandler, someone to play Spade, Rock, Norm, which is, I think, going to be the hardest ones to do. They're still living.
They might do that. Or it might just be one of those kind of more artsy style, like just Chris Farley in his world away from the spotlight. Mm. So who knows?
I'm into it. I don't know they didn't announce who's going to direct it, right?
I don't think so. But yeah, really looking forward to that. What questions do you got, Doug?
Oh, we got some bangers right here. So we have a question. We have four questions from Weezer Face. So thank you so much for sending in a gaggle of questions. So the first one she wants to know is, this is what she wrote. Late Night with the Devil made me hot for David Desmalchin. Was a movie ever so good it gives you a crush on someone?
Ooh.
I know my answer.
What? Oh. Florence Pugh?
Absolutely. In Midsummer, I was like, oh, that's baby girl right there.
Yeah, she's okay.
Son of a bitch. No, my boss said she looks like an average person who would work in a deli, and I haven't forgotten about that insult to my woman.
I
don't agree.
Look. No, like, I'm not going to talk specifically about Florence Pugh, but a lot of actors and stuff, I think there's that attraction because you see them in movies. But if you pass them on the street, you might say, wow, she's really pretty or whatever. But so I feel like the camera does add an attraction factor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
but she's a notch above deli. She's at least working cashier or something.
What? That's like the same thing in a deli. That bitch is making bagels and ringing you up.
Don't call your baby girl a bitch. That's rude, Doug. She listens to this.
I'm saying whoever that bitch is working at the deli, it's not Flo.
Whoever that bitch is.
Now, immediately, I don't know, her personality and her humor, and just she seems down to earth. I could be wrong. But she seems down to earth, and that's just it's just for some reason super attractive to me.
I am definitely going to think of my answer when I'm laying in bed tonight.
Doesn't even have to be a horror movie.
Let me circle back to this one.
Okay, I mean, I could keep naming. I have crushes on a lot of actresses. Rachel Sennett in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Hot. That's all I got to say.
Just hot. Yeah, I don't know.
Like her licking that lollipop with the glow stick around her fucking neck makes me want to start clubbing. I would, if she gave me ecstasy, I would be like, sure. I don't do any sort of drugs ever, but yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll think of one. But What's the next question?
All right. Her next question is, are you tired of religious horror or just Catholic horror, down for other religions to feature in horror? So we kind of talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting angle. Sure. Yeah. Why do Catholics, why are they like number one?
Well, you know, white America.
Yeah.
We need to bring in other religions.
They also don't have like the best moral track record, to put it mildly.
No, like let's throw in some like burning cows or something. Like let's throw in.
Well, give no, them something let's, new. Let's not do that.
not in real life, in a movie.
Sure. Well, the Wicker Man kind of did that.
That's true. Yeah.
But yes, I agree. Catholicism, you've had your day in the sun.
And seeing it in When Evil Lurks was interesting. Next one, her third out of fourth question. Would you rather have the It Follows demon after you or the creeper? I'm going to assume from Jeepers Creepers.
Probably It Follows. I don't want that rackety fucking truck following me down the road.
Rickety. Yeah, but you would have to not like, rackety. I don't like something that you can't see.
I mean, you can see the thing and It Follows.
But like it takes on many forms. Like I know what that motherfucker looks like.
Sure.
And like no matter where you go, someone will be following you. I feel like I can move to Alaska. He's not crossing oceans to come find me.
Yeah, but neither is the It Follows thing. That demon's not, you know, using their Chase reward points to book a flight to fucking Alaska, showing up to the airport, going through security. Nah.
But can it like transfer to different bodies?
There's a lot of loopholes, but yeah, I'll take the It Follows demon. And speaking of Micah Monroe, there you go. That's baby girl.
That you have a crush on Micah Monroe. That's the one.
She's not ugly.
She's not ugly. No, she's good looking. I told you, I love The Watcher. That movie was fucking so good.
I can't wait to see her in Long Legs.
It's funny to see like even when I saw Challengers, like Zendaya, and this isn't like a spoiler, because they go through different time periods. If you're gonna see it, she plays like a mother, and she has like a kid, and like I'm so used to seeing her as like a drug addict high school kid that I'm like, damn, like, but she's like 27. She could be a mother, but I'm like, it's so weird. So it's weird to see like Micah Monroe as like a adult police officer, because I see her like just as the girl from It, like just like a young girl.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Next question, Doug.
All right. Weezer Face also wants to know, would you guys ever consider doing an episode focusing on older, she puts in parentheses, pre-80s horror movies?
Sure. Always yeah, I mean, I guess I would like to start maybe doing deep dives on, I would love to do one on Night of the Creeps. Like, hey, that's what we're going to talk about this episode. I know that's 86. So, but yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of Vincent Price movies that we could talk about. Seance on a Sunday Afternoon. It's like, there's so many movies that like, I feel like, I don't know, or you don't know, or a lot of people don't know that you could just find and bring them to light. I didn't know about, I think I got Seance on a Sunday Afternoon from the same chick asking the question, because I saw on her letterbox that she watched it. It sounded interesting, and I watched it, and it was pretty, it was aight, but still fun to talk about. I mean, those old horror movies have such like a different feel to them.
Yeah. I started watching the original The Thing earlier.
How was that?
I took a nap. I made it like 20 minutes in. I'm not a big napper, but I sparred yesterday, so my body was just still hurting. So I needed a nap. And maybe I'll finish it. Great story.
But it wasn't boring. It was just because you were dead tired.
I mean, it's a, well, yeah, I was dead tired, but it is a different, you know, it's a lot of dialogue, a lot of talking, and Some could say boring, or like, hey, this information could have been conveyed in 30 seconds as opposed to 3 minutes. But no, and that's not a slide on the thing from another world. I got to finish it.
There's only so much you could have done in the 50s to like display what John Carpenter did in the thing.
Right. Yeah. But yes, would love to cover some older movies. Does she have one more?
No, that was her last one.
All right. Thanks for the questions.
Yeah, thanks for the questions. So fucking rad. All right. The next question we have is from Movie Miyagi. Rad dude. Is American Psycho the same movie if Jared Leto plays Patrick Bateman? Christian Bale and Jared Leto kind of both have the same commitment to a role, you know, but like Christian Bale just does it better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I could. Jared Leto's kind of a fucking weirdo. there's all sorts. Have you ever done a deep dive into all the weird shit surrounding his butt rock band?
And how 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah. It's cult-like, and they do these like retreats, and there's all sorts of rumors going around about what happens at these retreats.
Oh, I mean, I've heard he like grooms like women and shit like that.
Do your own research, make up your own mind. I'm not throwing out any accusations, neither is Doug.
No, that's just what I heard.
Doug. But
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I could see it. I haven't done a deep dive, but also I don't think it would be the same. Yeah. I think Christian Bale has too much gravitas, and Jared Leto just doesn't carry himself the same way as Christian Bale. Christian Bale is fucking intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Talk about commitment. That dude, we were talking about The Fighter the other day, and I was like, he probably turned into a meth head for like 3 months
for real.
That movie.
Dude, The Machinist, he like didn't eat. He was like 80 pounds. Have you ever seen this movie called Out of the Furnace?
No.
Dude, watch that movie. It is so underrated. Peep the cast. It's Woody Harrelson, Christian Bale, Casey Affleck, Zoe Saldana. Fuck, dude, Woody Harrelson is a grade A piece of shit in this movie. Like the first, I don't want to ruin the first scene for you, but like,
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, that movie you need to see. It's a really good story, really good role for Christian Bale. Just an awesome, awesome movie that doesn't get talked about like a lot. I think it came out in like 2014, 2015.
Okay. I will watch it.
Pretty solid. Yes. Thank you for that question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Another question right here from Zombie Gentleman. What's up, dude? This is the homie that I see at Monster Mania all the time. I met him in like 2014, which is pretty crazy, or 2015. He sold me this. He makes like VHS lamps. So he takes like blank tapes, prints out the label on them. And I bought a David Cronenberg VHS lamp. He's a really cool dude. Nice. Zombie Gentleman. You could probably find him on Etsy too. But he wants to know. And Instagram. Favorite horror movie weapon.
Ooh. Man.
There are so many to choose from.
That's a loaded question.
I love a good... and this is just hand-to-hand combat. I love a good decapitation. Just like a twist of the neck. And he just like, you know, goes about his day.
Hmm.
But like...
Anything with like a microwave, I'm all about. When somebody's head explodes in a microwave. I watched this 86 slasher the other day called Evil Laugh, and there's a microwave death in it. Somebody's head just explodes in a microwave. And did you see the Last House on the Left remake?
Yeah, actually.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Also had a nice microwave death.
And then Aaron Paul got his hand caught in that this what do you call that thing in the sink, like the disposal
yeah
thing? Yeah, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
The microwave death was cool from what I remember.
Yeah, I'll go microwave.
I'll
utilized.
Yeah. You microwaves are, yeah, that is a big horror movie weapon. I like a good lead pipe.
Hey, who doesn't? Am I right?
Hey, you know what the fuck I'm talking about? just because, like, I love,
gross.
I like, hey, doing the fucking piping over here. just like the sound it makes, like the big clunk. It just, like, I could feel it. I like feeling things because it just makes it that much more real.
Hey, you know what has a good lead pipe beating scene? I've been drinking my tea out of my Halloween 6 mug today because I woke up feeling a little underappreciated and a little underrated. So I was like, Halloween 6 it is.
Who got Paul you Rudd? Feeling underrated?
Nobody. I'm just saying. Paul Rudd beating the shit out of Michael Myers with a lead pipe. Love it.
Lead pipe is an underrated instrument of death. All right. Yes. Thank you for that question, my amigo. And we have another question here. We have one more left after this one, but this one's coming from Mountain Witch, our good friend Casey over at the Worst Horror Podcast, along with our other good friend Yaz.
Shout out.
So what's up, baby? She said, what small budget horror movie would you like to see remade with a larger budget? There's this really good movie that I watched on Tubi, under the radar. It's called Deadly Manor. It was made in 1990, and it's basically these people are like walking in the woods and they find a manor in the woods and they find out someone's living there. And, it's just like a good old fashioned goose chase. That would be kind of fun to see remade, just like a good old fashioned straight down the middle slasher movie.
Yeah, maybe because you said 1990, but my mind went to Demon Wind.
Mm.
But I mean, part of what's so great about that movie is because it's cheap.
Yeah, you can't remake that stupidity. Fucking door in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So I'll go Demon Wind, even though I'm sure I'll think of something, a better answer when I'm laying in bed tonight.
Be like, just write them all down for next episode. It would be cool to see like a new font for Demon Wind, like as a newer movie. Like, it's a badass title.
Yeah. Make that instead of Evil Dead 6.
They're going to do Evil Dead 6 / Demon Wind. They're going to combine it. Those fuckers.
Any other questions, Doug?
Yeah, we have one more question, and I don't know if this one pertains to you, but it could, because you came here and you did have the pizza. Our friend Gabagool, Nicole Matarese, she is also a fellow podcaster, has worked on some movies and stuff. So what is up? She said, best pizza in Huntington. Now, I took you to the best pizza spot when you were here, and that's Little V's.
It was good pizza. It wasn't like, hey, now this is New York pizza. It was good. It was a solid slice of pizza. Had a nice mushroom slice. It was solid. So I can only say what Little V's.
Little Vincent's, Little V's. Portofino is too doughy. Doesn't taste that great. No flavor. Roses, they're assholes in there. Plus, their pizza's way too saucy. Little Vincent's has the thin, crispy crust. It's always hot. It's always fresh. You're not getting bottom of the barrel. Sometimes, you know, pizza places like to give you a slice that's been sitting there for a couple hours. Little Vincent's is so fucking fast because a lot of people are ordering from them. I would say Little V's is the best in town. Don't go to Roses. Portofino, go there for the pasta. We had pasta. No, what did you have from Portofino? Salad?
I don't know.
That was the Super Bowl.
I think I had a salad, yeah.
I forgot what it was. But, I never went. There's just one place Sal D's, which I haven't been to, which Brittany said she needs to take me to because her stomping grounds are in Huntington. And for some reason, I've never even been there or heard about it. So that place is yet to be determined.
There is a pizza place walking distance from here called Oakwood Pizza Box. It is the best pizza I've ever had. And we are going to go there, and I want your opinion from a real New Yorker.
I will leave my reservations for that place. But every time I went out of New York, besides Jersey, I'm leaving Jersey out of this because Jersey also has wonderful pizza. I will not knock Jersey for that, other than smelling like a raccoon's taint. Massachusetts, not great pizza. Vermont, fucking Vermont, cardboard. Legit cardboard pizza. Next time you get an Amazon package, just take a bite out of it. That's like what it's like having pizza in Vermont. California pizza, not good.
We are going to go to Oakwood the first night you get here.
All right, perfect. I'm down for some. I need some grease.
Okay. Yeah, dude, it's the best pizza I've ever had. Like, it's really ever had. Yeah.
Where else have you had pizza?
Lots of places.
Like where?
Huntington, Little V's, little Vinny's,
Little Somalia, baby. We got the best slices.
So yeah, we'll see. I'll put my best pizza against yours.
You don't want to fuck with New York on this topic.
Okay. All right.
But I am going in there with an open mind.
Okay. Well, those are all the questions. Thank you to everybody that sent one in. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. It would mean the world to us. I'm trying to grow, trying to do more shit up here. Or if you're just listening on Spotify or Apple, hey, you can leave a rating there if you want. Thank you so much for tuning in either way.
Follow us on the gram.
Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, this camera.
Tell us what you have going on.
Somebody other than you, I went to see the Are You Garbage podcast a couple weeks ago live, and Toby, their producer, was like, hey, man, loved you on Hot Ones. I said, you are not the first person to say that, but thank you.
That made me so happy when you told me that.
Validation.
I'm not the only one.
He is a much better interviewer than me, though. He's a much better talker.
He's had years. He was on like MTV.
Was he?
I think so. I think he did I was watching like someone interview him, and he talked about like all like the like how he came up pretty much. I think he did like something back in the day with like MTV. I don't remember what it was, but it was something. Been out
whatever
for a
happened hot. To whatever happened to Jesse Camp?
he's probably on Cameo. You could tell him to send you a video for fucking $5 to feed his drug addiction. He's out there somewhere. I mean, Dave Holmes, whatever happened to him?
Yeah.
Say Kurt what Loder. Karaoke? I mean, Kurt Loder. Who is the Korean chick? Suchin Pak. Also yeah. another good person on there.
Great deep dive down the MTV VJ rabbit hole.
Who was your favorite? Remember Julia from Uranium? That was not MTV, but.
Talk about a crush. 14-year-old me was like, oh my God, marry me.
Popping a new metal boner.
Oh.
I got you 12 stones right here.
12 stones.
I know you know that song. You want to tap my root?
Who up tapping they root right now?
Listen, you could call me Papa Roach in the bedroom. Because I'd be making that pussy infested, huh?
Oh, yikes. Yeah.
We're killing it on the puns tonight, baby.
Not that one. It's just gross.
I'm killing in the name of, actually.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to wrap it up. Doug, I love you, my friend.
Love you, Daddy-O.
All right. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. We will catch you on the next one.